Bukowski here, behind the Sam Nation microphone, live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. When I say deep behind the orange curtain, we are slowly converting the studios to a bunker in preparation for an imminent North Korean missile attack. All right, we're live here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to join us on the program this evening. And my email is always sam@samnation.com. All day, I have to listen to insufferable liberals trying to explain to me why Trump is a buffoon in the way he's handling North Korea. As if to imply that their years and years of strategic patience was somehow a prototype of how this whole thing should have been run, and should have been run from the get-go. So Trump, of course, yesterday, I'm referring to his incendiary comments that were widely panned over and over and over ago yesterday and even this morning, where he threatened to give Korea fire and fury like the world has never seen before should they continue with their threats against the United States. And you may have missed the last bit of my program yesterday. But last night, oh, and by the way, can I plug this? The end of my show has been called the best 4 minutes in radio. So, if that's really when you're pulling into the garage and you've just about had enough of me, you're missing the best part. Because that's where I always slide in the last little bit of wisdom. So if you are unable to catch the end of the program, you do want to get that on the podcast and catch up. Because in the last minute, I think, or 2 minutes on air yesterday, I said very clearly that I think that these comments are not, this isn't classic Trump. This isn't Trump popping off. That when you take it together with everything else that's going on, this sounds like Mattis. It's actually what I said. Well, sure enough, today, General Mattis, now Secretary of Defense, issued his own statement. And that statement read in part, "The DPRK should cease any consideration of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people." He added, "President Trump was informed of the growing threat last December, and on taking office, his first orders to me," meaning General Mattis, Secretary of Defense, "to me, emphasized the readiness of our ballistic missile defense and nuclear deterrent forces." He then added, "While our State Department," now this refers to Rex Tillerson, "is making every effort to resolve this global threat through diplomatic means, it must be noted that the combined allied militaries now possess the most precise, rehearsed, and robust defensive and offensive capabilities on Earth. The DPRK," this is North Korea, "the DPRK regime's actions will continue to be grossly overmatched by ours and would lose any arms race or conflict it initiates." Now, at this point, if I'm crop top, Kim Jong-un, I would be going on Amazon and start buying up a large supply of adult diapers. Because it's one thing coming from Trump, and it's another thing coming from James Mattis. If you have served in the Marines or in any branch of the military, you know what I am talking about. Mattis is not someone who pops off. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And to all of you wilting pansy liberals, let me tell you why this is a good thing. And in order for me to do that, I need to give you a little bit of history. Now, strategic patience. That was what Obama called his program with North Korea. Strategic patience. We're going to see how this thing plays out. And strategic patience, I always panned it. I always looked at strategic patience as being it's a rebranded appeasement. It's Neville Chamberlain all over again, 1938 Munich, selling out to Adolf Hitler, thinking if we just give Hitler a little bit of what he wants, if we just placate him, what we for heavens knows, we do not want war. And when you go into a negotiation with a tyrant by laying down before him and laying out your cards that you don't want war, what are you going to get? I don't know. You may not get war necessarily, but you're going to get a tyrant who is emboldened and who in no way, shape, or form respects anything you say. North Korea, all the way back to 1985, promised not to develop nuclear weapons. They signed a nuclear non-proliferation treaty. In 92 and 93, it became obvious, right, during Bill Clinton's presidency, obvious that they had nuclear weapons. Why is that? They said they had nuclear weapons. So you've got a regime who on one hand said, well, we promise not to develop nuclear weapons, signed an agreement. If I have to listen to another insufferable commentator on TV talking about negotiating, promises, honor, anything of that, I'm beside myself. Let the sanctions work. Sanctions are fine. Great. But this is not the first rodeo with these clowns. They came out and said, we've got nukes, after promising not to develop them. And incidentally, if 1985 sounds like ancient history to you, 85 to 93 ain't that long. Okay? So North Korea lied through its teeth once, and I'll show you again and again and again, because what happened was strategic patience, aka appeasement, was not just new to Obama. It was already at this stage in 92-93 a policy that became embraced by Bill Clinton. And Clinton sends, who does he send? He sends an emissary. He sends, well, we'll call him an unofficial diplomat to the region. And it's none other than the senile peanut farmer that someone somewhere thought would be a good idea to have as president, Jimmy Carter. So Mr. Peanut goes to the North Korean peninsula, lays down like Neville Chamberlain, comes back with the functional equivalent of a paper, waving it up in the air. We will have peace in our time. Clinton and Carter gave North Korea $5 billion, $5 billion, and a deal that let them have nuclear reactors. Are you kidding me? How is this okay? And what followed from there, with George W. Bush distracted in Iraq, and with Obama distracted by his crazy left-wing fantasy world that he lived in, has led to the point where we are now. Over and over again, they have told us we're developing nuclear weapons. We're violating treaties. Yeah, it was 2003. During the first Bush term that North Korea just withdrew from the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. They just said, and they declared again that they have nuclear weapons. The year before that, by the way, they admitted that they violated the policy from day one. They admitted it. I don't know. Here's an idea. geniuses over there at the New York Times. I gotta, or CNN. Here's an idea for you clowns. Why don't you just believe people when they say something? You don't. You think it's all fun and games. And if you think that I'm unhinged right now and I sound a little ranty, I will provide to you some great backup for this. Because all of the great minds, all of those wizened people inside the Beltway types, deep state cronies that were parasitic leeches on the backside of Obama's presidency, who have been lecturing us nonstop about what a buffoon Trump is, are now making the rounds, and they're actually claiming that we ought to be doing more of the same. It's nothing short of insanity. And look, what happened, everybody knows 2020 vision, looking back, we know now that had we stood up to Adolf Hitler, had the Allies presented a unified front, knowing at the time that he already had a concentration camp program, knowing what his ambitions were, this is post-territorial acquisitions with Austria and elsewhere. So this was a time in history. We had a guy whose declared intention it was to do some damage. But we were so desperate for peace that we were willing to do anything for it. And I look at all of this, and I embrace incendiary rhetoric. I think it's great. Peace through strength. This is the difference between my perspective and that of all these liberal pansy snowflake leftists. They want peace through weakness. They want peace through appeasement. They want peace through strategic patience, whatever the hell that is. I want peace through strength. You think, okay, are we dealing with a bully? Yes. Can we agree on that at least? Is North Korea a bully? Are they a rogue regime? Are they a country that may or may not be rational? Don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But they certainly are aggressive. And they certainly are not a reliable partner to any type of treaty or agreement. The only thing that works with these people is a demonstration of force. And the appropriate place to start is with words. The thing that makes this effective, though, is that these words are being backed up by a show of force that you and I don't necessarily see. And that's the important thing here, because what we have, you know, behind the scenes, there is a tremendous mobilization of forces, which the North Korean military is picking up. And I will add to it, they're picking it up because the U.S., no doubt, and again, our leaders in the Pentagon, the military planners led by James Mattis, they're doing that deliberately. We're not trying to do some stealth maneuvers. Remember a few months ago with the ship zigzagging back and forth, and you had outrage from MSNBC and CNN about what is Trump doing? Plain sight, he's just, these ships are in the middle of the ocean and we're broadcasting these moves. Remember that? And I looked at it and I said, this is deliberate. These ships are zigzagging out there deliberately. It's a deliberate show of force. You do not want to hide a show of force. What's the point? And this is what happens when all you look. I'd never served in the armed forces. But look at all these ninnies that just, these are pansies raised from the get-go to avoid any fight, any confrontation, roll over. All these colleges and schools, and even workplaces now with safe spaces and everything, this is the result of it. So when I come back, let's talk about this. Let's get back to the meat of the matter, which is North Korea is a rogue state. They have nuclear weapons. They have lied to us since at least 1985. And they have to be stopped. And the only way you do it is either by a show of force to denuclearize them, or by scaring them to death. And I'm in favor of trying the scaring them to death option. Because behind the scenes, no doubt, there is a regime that wants to hold on to power. And the idea of being shorn of that power by a force as powerful as the United States has to be terrifying. Don't go anywhere. Right back after this.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
The Sam Rejofsky, live from the Sweet James Bunker. Hold down possibility of a North Korean missile attack. I was mentioning yesterday on air how yesterday I had mentioned on air that, look, this Trump incendiary statement that everybody was criticizing all day was really part of a concerted, probably something that was run by Mattis. It sounded more like Mattis to me. What was interesting to me is even some Republicans criticized it yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, Judge Andrew Napolitano talked about Trump's rhetoric, how it was over the top, speaking with Trish Regan at Fox News. Here's what he said about it. Have a listen.
I wouldn't fight fire with fire. And though I respect the president and respect his judgment, the language was so over the top that it will encourage this crazy nut in North Korea rather than deter him.
Now, less than 24 hours later, this morning, Judge Napolitano walked the statement back. Now, listen to what he says here.
I was initially appalled at the president's language. And then, as the day wore on and I listened to Nikki Haley and to Rex Tillerson, I realized this is coordinated.
Yeah.
This is planned and this is time. This is the carrot and this is the stick. And to echo what you just said, Harris, the president has intel, raw data from intelligence sources all over the world and especially there that may be telling him this short, fat guy is not crazy, he's rational, and this is the type of language that will keep him up at night.
Now, this is exactly my point, that it is that there's a strategic reason behind it, and that the words are an appropriate escalation. So but this was the type of overreaction at first in the media. Now, of course, as soon as Mattis released his statement, there was a certain degree of about face. Because now it's carrying a certain degree of gravitas. You had McCain yesterday even doubting whether we had the capability to do what Trump was threatening. Can you believe this guy? What a joke. But what really terrifies me, I just took us through this, the history of appeasement, of deal over deal over deal broken with North Korea. Where North Korea made promises, didn't keep them. We come back to the table. Carter won a peace prize. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for the deal he struck back in 1994 with North Korea, where he gave him $5 billion and two nuclear reactors, which is arguably why we're in this mess. Really, I'm beginning to think that the Nobel people really just only give peace prizes to people who jack up this world. I think if you've really messed this world up, you get a peace prize. Because I think if Trump can turn North Korea into a parking lot and rid us once and for all of this menace, he should get a peace prize. He won't, of course. He won't. Or maybe they should have given one to Trump. Didn't Obama already have a peace prize by now? He did. So the part that worries me, though, well, not worries me, the part that is almost hilarious is how these deep state people who have put us in this predicament to begin with are still sticking to the old script. And you've got James Clapper, who's the former director of national intelligence for Obama, 7 years with Obama. And then served, he also served Bill Clinton from 91 to 95. So this guy has, as DIA director, so this guy has his paw prints all over the North Korean disaster. Director of National Intelligence. Here's what he said on Anderson Cooper 360 about Trump's rhetoric.
That kind of rhetoric on from the presidential level raises the ante. And what we have always done in the past is take the rhetoric emanating from North Korea with a grain of salt. And when we take it seriously like this and threaten, as the president did, that's a pretty heavy message. And when he says, speaks of the fire and fury, this is very reminiscent of the rhetoric that North Korea uses about transforming Seoul into a sea of fire.
And what we have always done in the past is take the rhetoric emanating from North Korea with a grain of salt. This, ladies and gentlemen, are the people who we were hoping would protect us. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Paul Manafort thing. Early morning FBI raid. I want to get to that too. Don't go anywhere. We've got John Wolf up next with the news. Back right after this.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, here on Talk Radio 790 KBC, broadcasting live from the Sweet James Studio bunker. Hold down in the event of an attack on the West Coast. Did you see these missile times, by the way? These ballistic missiles, or whatever they are, nuclear missiles, but these ICBM missiles can reach Hawaii in 20 minutes. And the West Coast and something here where we are in something like 25 or 30. It's really unnerving. But also, I'm just kind of wondering when Delta is going to start to fly these missiles. 20 minutes. That's it. I'd let you fire me out of a, you know, a little silo somewhere. Pop me in the missile. Send me over. Japan. You could get to Japan. It's a 9-10 hour flight. 20 minutes. Just think about that. All right. 1-800-222-5222. If you want to be on the program, sam@samnation.com. We are having lots of fun taking apart the left's insanity. And look, tell a friend. You know, you're not alone. You might be in L.A. You might be, as I frequently call you good people out in Santa Monica, you might be in Santa Monica in a sea of left-wing lunacy. But you know what? They're around you. There are silent sympathizers. And they do tune in to this program. They are loyal Sam Nation listeners. I hear from you all the time. And so, you know, there ought to be a secret handshake of some kind. You know, if you meet a fellow disciple of the program to know that they're one of us. Man, I should get like lapel pins. What do you think? Lapel pins? Something that would clue people in. So now if you're thinking that Trump is new to this feeling out North Korea being a threat, and I've heard this as a theory out there. Trump, Sam, Trump is, he's just trying to divert attention from the Russia investigation. And I cannot guffaw enough over this because Trump's been saying this consistently for years. For years, all the way back, we found a clip. Let's play this clip. 1999, here is what Trump was telling Tim Russert about North Korea.
These people in 3 or 4 years are going to be having nuclear weapons. They're going to have those weapons pointed all over the world and specifically at the United States. And wouldn't you be better off solving this really potentially unbelievable and the biggest problem? I mean, we can talk about the economy. We can talk about Social Security. The biggest problem this world has is nuclear proliferation. And we have a country out there in North Korea, which is sort of wacko, which is not a bunch of dummies. And they are going out and they are developing nuclear weapons. And they're not doing it because they're having fun doing it. They're doing it for a reason. And wouldn't it be good to sit down and really negotiate something, and ideally negotiate? Now, if that negotiation doesn't work, you better solve the problem now than solve it later, Tim. And you know it, and every politician knows it, and nobody wants to talk about it.
Consistency. Consistency. Also kind of reminds me of when Obama was calling ISIS the JV squad. Do you remember that? Because I think that's been the problem here. I think that so many members of our brilliant establishment ruling class, people like James Clapper, whose clip I played for you last segment, talking about how, well, Trump can't use this rhetoric. What we have always done in the past is take the rhetoric emanating from North Korea with a grain of salt. That type of stuff. Yeah, they ignored it. And it's because all these brilliant people, all these brilliant minds thought that North Korea was just a bunch of crazy people. They're a bunch of dummies, bunch of goofballs. You know, they couldn't put the tech in a missile. Give them a nuclear reactor. Man, they're so dumb, they won't figure it out. Do you know how patronizing and stupid that is? Total misunderstanding and underestimation of a very powerful foe. And a very powerful enemy. So the only way that this all relates back to Trump-Russia is that the Democrats are absolutely committed to chasing ghost issues and phantom enemies. And they're so obsessed about things that don't matter. You know what? Trump was absolutely right. Forget the economy. Forget Social Security. Forget taxes. Forget Obamacare. What I care about is not getting blown up. And I want a president who's going to prevent that from happening. All right, Sam Rojofsky, back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
There's a saying that applies to this North Korea deal. If you want peace, prepare for war. So think about that. Now, since our friends on the left love appeasement and love strategic patience and deliberations, discussions, weakness, right? They like that kind of thing. Is that what you want from your lawyer? I mean, if you're, it's a real life question. If you've got a conflict with somebody, if you, for example, you get into a car accident, you've got a loss, and you want to get a fair outcome from the insurance company, what do you do? Do you just go to them and say, hey, you know, no, you don't do that. You hire the best, the strongest, the most aggressive lawyer that you possibly can. And make sure that that lawyer is our friend, Sweet James Bergner. He's the only attorney that we trust here on the program to take care of you and your loved ones in the event that you have a loss of this type. He will go out there. He's going to be tough. He's going to be uncompromising. He's going to start mobilizing those battleships to protect you and to get you the outcome that you deserve. So call him, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rojofsky, back here behind the Sam Nation microphone. Now, I will tell you something interesting. Did you notice today that there was little to no outcry from anyone in the mainstream media over Tillerson's call out to our allies? Now, it's caught my ear because Tillerson, our Secretary of State, right now is being hailed as a bit of a hero, right? The way this is set up is that Tillerson is exploring diplomatic options and that Trump needs to, you know, defer to the diplomats. Let the diplomats do their thing. You know, and I've mentioned that for years we've let the diplomats do their thing and, you know, it's not working really well. Now, peace through strength, right? So Tillerson's doing his thing. And in that process, Tillerson is calling on our allies. You know who was on that list? Russia. And I did not hear boo from the mainstream media. He said he specifically named Russia as one of the allies that he intends to call on to help contain this North Korean disaster that's unfolding. And you bet, Russia is a player in this. They are a trading partner. They're in the region. They're to the north of North Korea, beyond China, right? They're in the region. They're a player. They're a trading partner. They're an economic partner. and in that sense, are a valuable ally. So again, I ask all of you crazy people who I listen to all the time telling me, oh, we really got to stick it to Russia. Every time I hear crazy John McCain, we got to stick it to Russia. And they are the worst. And you know what? Okay, they're the worst. But do you know what? Let me ask you, what's a bigger deal? Getting nuked or having our election, you know, maybe messed with a little bit, some disinformation, and I don't know. You've got to pick and choose. You can't have it all. So it's just another show of how this whole Russia fiasco is a left-wing red herring. Now, as part of the Russia investigation, it was in the news, and it briefly stole the spotlight this morning from North Korea with a news break that Paul Manafort, the former campaign chairman of the Trump campaign, his home in Alexandria, Virginia, had been raided in a pre-dawn FBI raid. Now, this really wasn't breaking news because this raid happened back in July. July the 26th, to be precise, based on a subpoena that was intended to enforce the discovery of tax and banking records. Now, I want to explain to you what these raids intend to convey and what context they play in investigations generally, because I think a lot of this has been lost as people have been debating it. But I also just am curious. Ask yourself this. Manafort, last time I checked, was a cooperating witness. This was the guy that was supposed to give Mueller the goods on Trump. I mean, yeah, Manafort was the guy they had by the huevos. They had him. They were holding him tight because, you know, because he was the one in cahoots with Ukraine and illicit payments back and forth. And now there's a pre-dawn raid. More on this when we come back.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
All right. Rounding out the fastest hour in radio. We're having too much fun. Look, this Paul Manafort thing. He was briefly the campaign chairman of Trump's campaign. And it's true. Paul Manafort, you've got to remember something. He's knee deep with Ukraine and other foreign countries. Big time lobbyist, dirty bird. If you are a longer time listener of the program, you'll remember me talking about him with no great enthusiasm when he ran Trump's campaign, brought in to stabilize the campaign after Corey Lewandowski was booted. At any rate, pre-dawn raid, FBI tears in, got a search warrant. Raids of this type, this is police and prosecutorial shock and awe. There is absolutely nothing more terrifying than being in bed early in the morning and getting a knock on the door, and then next thing you know, a battering ram or whatever, and they're in your house and they're taking over, guns drawn. And that's probably how this went down. It is an absolutely common tactic for two reasons. One, the police and especially the FBI love to train on raids with non-scary people. Paul Manafort, well, you might think he's scary because you think Trump Russia is the greatest existential threat that faces our country. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Paul Manafort is not the guy that's lying behind the door, you know, barricaded in there with a shotgun. So police like to train raids and do raids on white collar criminals, suspects, quote unquote, because it's easy. And they continuously will refresh their procedures. So, this is a very common scenario. You got one of these guys who's there, hands up in the air. He's like, guys, put away your guns. I don't have a gun. I'm just Paul Manafort. I'm just a white-collar politician guy. But they still do it because they need the training. And they have protocols and procedures, and they want that show of force. But the other reason, the reason prosecutors like it, is it's a message. It's like, Godfather and the severed horse head. You wake up and, you know, yeah, ghost horse in bed with you. Not a good thing. Blood everywhere. It's the same thing here. So I'm going to get, I'll follow this for you and keep you up to speed on it. But it's interesting because he was always thought he was a cooperating witness. So maybe he doesn't have enough, or he hasn't been as forthright with Mueller as it has been widely assumed. Now, just briefly here to close out the hour, I want to go back to Guam. Guam is in the news. You know, this little tiny island. We have a military base there. Guam is in the news now. North Korea has been threatening Guam. And I think personally it's great news because it shows that it shows either de-escalation or an admission that they have a lack of capability to strike the mainland, right? Strike us here. But Guam, we almost lost Guam once. And that's at least according to a Democrat, Hank Johnson, back in 2010 in Congress asking Admiral Robert Willard about Guam. And here's what he said.
I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
The whole island will become so overpopulated and capsized. This is what the Democratic Party was worried about in the last 20 years. Can't make this stuff up. Oh, my goodness. All right, back tomorrow, 7 p.m. Tune in. You know where to find me. Can't wait. Talk to you later.
Talk radio. 790. KABC.